Okay, so if you got your Bible, you can turn it to page 4. We're going to pick up where we left off. But I'm going to catch you up to speed a little bit. I can't go through the whole series now because we're like deep into it. So I'm just going to really quickly recap our first talk in this series. And this series is called Relationships That Honor God. And I'll just blow through the other ones. And then we want to camp on, we got to recap a little bit from last week because we're going to pick up where we left off. So our first 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, whatever it was, we talked about that God has given sex to humans as a gift. It's not, we don't believe as a church, we don't believe it's God. We don't worship it. We don't believe it's dirty. We don't think that it's this terrible, dirty thing. God created it. He created it for marriage between a man and a woman. Created it for intimacy and pleasure. And yeah, so that's the deal. That's kind of our understanding of it. It's a gift. It's we're not to look at it negatively. Now, anything outside of what God's designed it for, then it becomes a perversion. But you can catch up on those, all those talks are online on our website, gcalliance.org, and you can catch up. So, but we asked, we kind of three things that we wanted to bring into every talk. Number one was a big question. Do you really want to know what God thinks? That is a big question, right? Because if you don't want to know what God thinks, then you're coming in closed-minded. Like, you're kind of like, nah, I don't really care what God thinks. I just want to know what I think, or I only care what I think. Okay, so that's kind of what we came into, that big question. And then we needed a vital perspective. And this vital perspective, I think, is so vital. That's why we call it vital perspective. To understanding what it means to honor God. And this is it. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And we identified the thief as Satan. Yes. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, that you may have life, and have it to the full. Okay, so very, very important, vital perspective is that what God wants for us is fullness of life. Okay, if we don't have that perspective, we're not going to understand what it means to honor God. In fact, we're going to think, oh, this kind of sucks. This kind of blows. This isn't what real life is all about. If we don't understand that that's the perspective that God has for us, and that's what God wants for us, then we'll doubt everything else. And finally, we needed an essential understanding of why you are here. What is the purpose of your life? Like, why you're here. And we summed it up in a single statement. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so you can go online and you can see how we unpacked that and talked about those things. But the gist of it is that when we follow God's ways and His design for life, we benefit. And it brings us joy. That's kind of the gist of it all. All right, and so we'll fast forward to last week. Now, last week we went through the book of Genesis, but we went through chapter 3 of Genesis. We did 1 through 19, so it was a very aggressive sermon last week. Today we're not going to do that many, but here's what I want you to remember from last week, is we uncovered Satan's plans, his strategy on how to deceive us. You guys remember that? Who are here? Yeah? Remember that? Okay, so here's, really quickly, again, it's worth listening to if you want to listen to that. It's online too. First of all, this is his strategy. First of all, he wants you to question whether God really said it. So when he approached Eve in the garden, it says, did God really say? And so he approached her with that first question. He wants you to start, oh, did God really say that this was wrong? Or did God really say? That's the first, and that in and of itself, remember, that's not sin yet, right? But it is putting you down a path, and when you entertain it, Eve started, you know, having a conversation with Satan about it. It just led her down a path further and further until it says she was convinced, and that was like, ah, right? Okay, so after the question, after questioning, and then Eve kind of says, well, yeah, God said we could eat of any fruit, and then what does Satan do? He goes like, no, you won't die, because God had promised that they would die. And so Satan goes, no, you won't die. So what he does there is he calls God a liar and goes like, God's lying to you. He just doesn't want you to be like, come like him. So now he's sweetening the pot here. Now what's he doing? He's caused you to question. Then he's caused you to think that God is lying. And now he's like, God's also holding out on you. That's the reason why he was lying, is because he's holding out on you. There's more to life than than what he's given you. And so at this point, she's at the point of no return, really. And by the time that the enemy says, okay, now look at the fruit, the Bible said it looked delicious, delightful and delicious. And that's what sin looks like. Sin isn't ugly. It's like, it looks awesome. And that's what entices us into it. So this is his strategy. He does it over and over and over. And you know what? He's not that creative, but he doesn't have to be, because he gets us in this trap and this strategy over and over. Like, how many times have we fell for this? Right? And we just you can fill in the blanks about how many, you justify your behavior, or you're just trying to, oh no, well, God said this, but it's more like he meant this. And you know, you just kind of meander through, and eventually you just get to the point where you don't care what God says. And then you get to Romans chapter 1, where it says, you know, people knew God, but they didn't give him thanks. And in the end, God gives them over to their own evil desires and their own delusions. And so that's a scary place to be. Okay, so that's the enemy's plan. Okay, so then, and then last week we talked about how boys and girls are wired differently, right? You guys remember that? So we talked about how guys think versus how girls think. It was kind of funny, right? Guys think they have little boxes in their minds, right? And everything has a box, and the boxes aren't allowed to touch, and they got all these rules. You can only have one box open at a time. You can't have a whole bunch of boxes. And so the deal was, well, when guys are thinking about cars, then that's it. That's what they're thinking about. So if you wanted them to think about relationships, they have to mentally close the box, put it in the place it's supposed to be, and then go relationship box and open the relationship box, and then you can have a conversation about relationship. But when that's done, he's got to close the box up and put it away and then onto something else, and often forgets what's in that box. but anyway, we kind of did a whole thing on that. And then girls, we said that they don't have boxes. They don't think in compartments like guys do. They have what we described as, when God created a girl's mind, he took all the boxes and dumped them into one brain. And then everything is all over the place, and their brains are just going firing all the time. They're always thinking about something. It's just like electrical impulses going, right? Something is always on a woman's mind, right? So when you ask a woman what she's thinking and she says nothing, she's lying, right? But if you ask a guy, what are you thinking about, and he says nothing, that's a distinct possibility, because he might have his nothing box open. Right? If the nothing box is open, he can actually think about nothing. Right? As crazy as that may sound, a guy can actually think about absolutely nothing. So that was kind of the fun part of the talk. And then we got into the more serious stuff. The sins, the kind of the bucket sins, we call them, the deep dark sins that guys struggle with. And we talked about how some of our desires are strong desires. We struggle with these strong desires. And specifically, when we dismissed everybody, the guys stayed in one group, and we had a toolbox discussion, which, by the way, girls, we put that online as well, so if you want to listen to it, because I know how curious you are. See, here's another difference between guys and girls. The girls are probably wondering the whole time what we were talking about, right? When the guys go to their groups today, they probably won't even think of it. They'll be like, ooh, cake. Right? You'll be forgotten. Not a bad thing, it's just the way we're wired, right? So that's kind of what we talked, strong desires, these disordered desires where we desire power or desire wealth, we have really strong desires in some of these areas, and we talked also about sex and the strong desire that guys have for sex. And not that women don't have strong desires, it's just that this is kind of the big bucket sin for guys that almost all guys struggle with and have to deal with. And so then we talked about selfishness, pride, and self-sufficiency. Yeah, there we go. So that was kind of the bucket sins for guys. So selfishness, pride, and self-sufficiency. And so in the toolbox, we kind of, okay, so how do we deal with these strong desires? How do we deal with this stuff? And so we had a really good discussion, which, by the way, girls, I edited some of it, so you won't get the whole discussion, but most of it's there. So, all right, so that's where we left off, and today we're going to pick it up in Genesis chapter 3, and we're gonna backtrack a little bit. I just want to kind of read where we've been up to, but we're going to camp at verse 16, And so I'm going to back up to verse number 6. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is where it all went bad. All those the stages that we talked about, Satan's strategy, this is where she was finished. She was already going to sin. She hadn't sinned yet. But it says the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame and nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. So remember, we talked about the effects of sin and what happens with sin, and we need to remember that today because we're going to talk about women's bucket sins, their kind of deep, dark sins. It brings shame, okay, and fear. If you're feeling shame today, that's a result of sin. You've got to understand that the first man and woman experienced no shame until they sinned, which is mind-blowing. I can't even imagine a life that didn't have any shame whatsoever. Like nothing. It's crazy. And they were naked. They weren't ashamed at all. Like it was just like everything. And this whole nakedness was this representative of, it wasn't just their physical body that was naked. Everything was naked before each other. Like it was just, everything was open. There was no shame, no sin. And so what did God do? Well, this is one of the cool things about God we talked about last week. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid, which is another symptom of sin. We hide, right? And God came and asked, where are you? Right? This God was looking for them. And God does that for us still today. He looks for us when we wander away from Him, when we sin, when we... He calls out to us. He's like, hey, come back to me. Right? That's the invitation. So let's remember these things that sin brings and as we kind of go into... to how girls are wired because of the fall. So here's God's response. We'll move down a little bit to verse 15. And he says, and he's cursing the serpent, which is Satan, and he's cursing him. He's saying, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. And when we talked about this last week, the offspring is singular. It's not like all humankind. He's actually... This is the first time the Bible is talking about Jesus. So in the third chapter of the Bible, Jesus is already being introduced, that God already had a plan to fix and rescue us, to fix what went wrong in the garden. He will strike your head or crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So this is actually what's played out on the cross. With this in mind, let's head down to the next verse here. He said to the woman, so now here's the curse for the woman. I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. You will desire control, you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Probably a better translation for that is your desire will be for your husband. That's actually the more literal translation. So your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And so here's the deal. Here's what happened. This is kind of how girls are wired and what the curse, the sin of Adam and Eve kind of brought into the world as far as our female friends are concerned. First of all, pain. It's the first thing mentioned, right? And pain in childbirth blows, right? I've been there. All three of my biological children, I was there at their birth and watched it all went down, and I was worried for my wife, and I'm like, how in the heck does that happen? Like, this is crazy. It's not something I ever really wanted to do. Okay? Not at all. But you know what? I'm very thankful that my wife did, and that we have three incredible, beautiful children. We have four, but one of them is adopted, so I didn't get to see him born. But I got to witness the other three being born. It was really cool, much more cooler for me than for my wife. Let's put it that way. So there's pain. So girls, there's more to the pain stuff, but I'm going to save that for our small group discussion. Is that okay? Can we pick that up in the small group discussion? Okay, let's keep going then. Secondly, he said your desire would be for your husband. So what happened is. This is kind of how girls are wired, is that here's the result of the curse is that our, not just women, but everybody, but specifically in this case, women's, desires are disordered. See, before the fall, Eve's desire was for God. After the fall, after they sinned, the curse was that her desire would be for her husband instead of God. That would be a disordered desire, that she would always have to struggle to make sure that Jesus was her greatest desire. That God and following Him would be her greatest desire. And so this is the deal for the female, is that relationships were put out of order. And so instead of desiring God in a relationship with Him, they would desire a man, desire boys. So that's a tough one, right? I mean, that's big. I mean, you want to know why you look at life through a relational lens, and that everything is kind of through that, is because of this disordered desire that your relationship, that you would see life and desire a relationship with a boy or a man more than you would relationship with God. I mean, you could see the implications just thinking about that. When God has designed us to chase after Him, that His order-wise, that He needs to be our top priority when it comes to a relationship. Now, for guys, the disordered desires are different. We talked about them last week. Today, we're going to focus in on these disordered desires and kind of the fallout. Okay, so here's what do these disordered desires bring up in a woman? Now, I need to kind of do a disclaimer here, or, you know, I don't know what it's like to be a woman, okay? I live with three of them. I've witnessed two of them from birth grow up to age 10 is the oldest one. I've been married for 13 years and dated my wife for 4 years. So I've known her for like 17 years. I have a mom. I'm pulling on these relationships, right? But more importantly, I'm pulling really strongly from a couple of different sources for this talk. One is from... I took a course at Prairie Youth Workers Convention on talking about women. Darcy was there. That was good. It was really good. Just delving into the mind of a woman and how she thinks, specifically a teenage girl, which I'm just like, whoa, I got to go to this because I don't know what they think about it at all. So it was a really good course, informative, even kind of explaining how it's different when how girls will view a girl walking in who is new compared to how a guy will view that girl walking in. And the same with, or a boy walking in is completely different. And it's really interesting, just kind of the differences in the way girls think and how guys think. And so that was really informative for me, as well as a couple of different, I have some different quotes. There's a couple different studies online that I was looking into, done by a couple of different universities. And as well, from the Village Church, they did a series on, it's called Beautiful Design. If you haven't listened to it, you should. It's phenomenal. And so I'm going to pull pretty heavily from some of their stuff too. So that's where it's coming from. It's none of my brilliance. I've never been a woman before and never planned to be. And so here we go. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right out. Here's my greatest fear, is that the girls will walk away discouraged. I'm a little bit worried about that, and I don't want you to be. I want this to be an encouraging talk, because the outcome of this talk can be life-changing. Seriously. It can be life-changing. I really believe that, because I really believe our vital perspective, that Jesus has come to give us life to the full. And so, here we go. So this, how has this played out? Well, I think here's kind of the two kind of bucket sins that women have. The first is comparison. Girls, and you guys know right away, I said the word, you know it, comparison. You are comparing yourself to every other girl all the time in every way. Right? Everything is just compare, 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 compare. It's a sport for women. Like, they just compare everything. It's crazy. And this is the second, you know what, I'll just do the two and then we'll get back to them. The second one is perfection. And I think that both of them are super dangerous. But here's where I think kind of girls fall into it. And I'm going to read this article. This is what I kind of quoted part of it last week, but I'm going to read the whole thing this time. It's from an article in The Atlantic called "Closing the Confidence Gap." It says, underqualified and underprepared men don't think twice about leaning in, about getting into opportunities. All the empirical data is, I'm going to break this and the company and sink the company, but I deserve a shot. That's the guy, by the way. Yet, overqualified and overprepared women still hold back. Women feel confident only when they are perfect or practically perfect. Study after study has shown that perfectionism is largely a female issue, one that extends through women's entire lives. We don't answer questions until we are totally sure of the answer. We don't submit a report until we've edited it ad nauseum. We don't sign up for that triathlon unless we know we are faster and fitter than is required. We fixate on performance at home, at school, at work, at yoga class, even on vacation. We obsess as mothers, as wives, as sisters, as friends, as cooks, as athletes. So here's the deal. I think these two bucket sins for women are incredibly destructive. They actually lead to death. They really do. And you guys, and I know girls that you, like, and here's the other thing. I've been bouncing this sermon off of lots of different ladies, trying to go like, is this okay? Is this right? Is this right? And then they've actually given me lots of feedback. So, and some of the stuff is from them. So, here's the deal. Perfection. There's just something in us that strives for perfection, guys and girls. But for women, it's much stronger. And as I was listening to a sermon, and it wasn't on this at all. It was actually in our church, and it was on the book of Ephesians. And I just had this, I think it was God kind of giving me something. And so I was writing feverishly down and during the sermon, and I this is what I wrote. Sin has marred our perfection from creation. It gets broken, that perfection. However, our desire for perfection and our expectation of it remain. Now that puts us in a conundrum, right? If perfection is unattainable and it's broken because of sin, if perfection is unattainable and broken because of sin at the fall, and yet our desire and expectation to be perfect still remains, are you guys with me? There's going to be a problem, right? Unfortunately, this expectation and striving for perfection leads our girls into a hopeless and impossible battle to attain an illusion. Consequently, this deadly game leads our girls into hating their own bodies and wishing they were different, i.e., like that girl or like that girl or perfect. It fuels an unhealthy obsession of comparison as they fixate on their imperfections and covet what they see in other women. The result? Envy, covetousness, anger, self-loathing, despair, self-mutilation, eating disorders, and depression. See, most of these things, except for envy and covetousness and anger, those last things are generally female issues. Now, some guys cut, some guys self-mutilate, some guys are, like, this is not just a gender thing. However, if you look at the studies, like, it's a landslide. Women battle with this far more. And it's because of this illusion of perfection that they can't attain. That the pain is so deep and real, and a lot of it is simply they're not able to become or attain the perfection they think they need to have. If perfection in any area appears unattainable, a woman will simply turtle and refuse to participate. That part I added today, actually. If ladies, if you come to this point where you realize that, I can't do it perfectly, you're paralyzed. What am I going to do? I can't do it. Can you just quit? Or you just say, I'm not going to do it at all. Because this projection that I have to be perfect is guiding you. Here's a quote from Matt Chandler about perfection. When perfection is your goal, and ladies, it is. This is one of the bucket sins for ladies, that perfection is the goal. Any type of conflict is very difficult. So you will rarely, if ever, stand on what you believe to be true. That's a tough statement. Can I read it to you again? When perfection is your goal, okay, disordered desire, right? Christ's perfection is what we chase after, not our own, right? So this is disordered. Any type of conflict is difficult, so you will rarely, if ever, stand in what you believe to be true. So you can hear about the cross. You can hear about Jesus. You can hear about, yes, we need to rely on Jesus' righteousness for our perfection. And yet, because perfection is your goal and not Christ, it warps your whole sense of who you are. And it does exactly what we just talked about. It either paralyzes you or propels you into this crazy cycle of trying to achieve something that's just an illusion. And if push comes to shove, you will choose perfection over your faith. That's scary. It really is. So comparison and perfection, this obsession, it leads to this healthy and devastating competition with our girls. Because you're comparing everything. Body parts, any kind of assets that you might have or not have, intelligence, boyfriends, marks at school, popularity, you name it. You guys, fashion, shoes, whatever it is, right? You guys are comparing. And the competition is what it ends up being, because comparison always leads to competition. The competition is, it's crazy. It's dog eat dog. It is vicious. But it's all underneath the surface. Not always, but for the guys, right? We don't see it as much. But the girls feel it. You guys know it. You've sensed it. You've been on the wrong end of that competition too many times for most of you guys. And it hurts like crazy. And so the result of this competition, this constant competition and comparison, there's only one result. Despair. That's it. There's no other way, because you cannot. There'll always be someone more beautiful, always someone with a better look, always someone with better hair, always somebody with better eyes, always somebody with better whatever. You fill in the blanks. There'll always be somebody. And so if the desire for you is perfection, it's going to be tough. And guys, most of you guys are actually looking like deer in the headlights up here. He's like, what? Like, whoa, really? We can help ladies out. Like, here's one of the things I learned from that course is that almost always guys' compliments revolve around how the way girls look. Okay, so what happens when a girl hears that kind of compliment? Well, this is what guys want, so I need to look good all the time. Okay, rarely do guys compliment women for their character or their values. Think about it, guys. Like, when's the last time you really complimented a woman on her character, and it wasn't because you're really attracted to her appearance? Right? But ladies, guys are attracted to depth of character. They really are. I mean, you guys aren't in the guys' locker rooms when you're hearing about the hot girl who was just like, guys are just like, oh, do not go near that woman. Like, she is nasty. Right? You don't hear these types of conversation. Because guys actually do look for character and value. Yes, they are very visual, and they are attracted visually, for sure. But these things are important. Like, one of the things that attracted me to Jamie the most was that she loved Jesus so much. Seriously, that was super attractive to me. I met Jamie when I was 25, and I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. In fact, I think I'd sworn off girls from a bad experience a few years before. I'm like, I'm done with this. This is dumb. But I met her during that time, and I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. But man, there was a lot of qualities about this girl that drew me to her. Was I physically attracted to her? Yes. But that's not enough, right? Not nearly enough, ladies. So if you concentrate all your effort on grooming the outward and nothing on grooming the inward, then all you are is going to be a whitewashed tomb that's dead inside. That's pretty hard words, right? But there's hope, you guys, and that's what our discussion is about. Okay, here's a couple of things I want to talk about. Number one is that, okay, so let's just take this now. I think it's pretty convincing, right? Perfection and comparison are two really big issues for girls. So what would be probably the worst thing you could do to kind of throw this just into a crazy, like, make it explode? Well, I think if you threw social media into this comparison and need for perfection, I think there's going to be an explosion. Okay, not that social media is bad. Not that you can't have Facebook. It's not that you can't have Instagram. Not that you can't tweet and have Twitter. It's not about that. I have all those things. Those things are, in and of themselves, are not evil. But there's tons of studies on this stuff, you guys. You just have to Google this stuff. There's so many studies. Here's one from University of Berlin. The lady is Hannah Casanova. This is what she says. You get more explicit and implicit cues of people being happy, rich, and successful from a photo than from a status update. A photo can very powerfully provoke immediate social comparison, and that can trigger feelings of inferiority. You don't envy a news story. Casanova's research has led her to define what she calls as the envy spiral. It's kind of a particular thing for social media. If you see beautiful photos of your friend on Instagram, one way to compensate is to self-present with even better photos than what your friend had. And when your friend sees those photos, she posts even better photos of herself, and so on. Self-promotion triggers more self-promotion, and the world of social media gets further and further from reality. Because here's the thing, if one of your big struggles is comparison and perfection, what you see in a picture is not real, right? Do you guys not know, like, the magazines, and you guys all know that's airbrushed, right? That's like every imperfection they can possibly find is airbrushed and shaped into perfection. You guys know that, right? Magazines. So what you're seeing isn't real. Okay, photos on the internet about selfies. Does anyone ever do a selfie? Well, maybe guys, but a woman ever do a selfie when they get up and there's this massive zit on their chin going like, yeah, psh, like, watch me pop this. Is she going to put that on? That's pretty rare, right? In fact, I don't know if I've ever heard of one. Like, that's not what girls do. Like hair all over, no makeup, drooling, and like trying to pop it. That's not the selfie you put online, right? You present the best image you can possibly present. And that's what's going on in social media. It's this cycle. And here's the thing, it causes depression. It causes you to feel inadequate with the body and the looks that God gave you. And you look at what's going on in your friend's life and you start to covet. And you go like, oh, I don't have that. Oh, I don't have that. Oh, look how perfect her life is. Oh, look at how everyone has a perfect life except for me. That's the lie that social media does to us. It actually makes, especially girls, makes us think that everyone else has this perfect life and we're broken and no one else is. It's a lie. It's not real. And it's funny, I was just talking to Bob today about this and he laughed. He said, dude, they were just in Mexico last week and he's like, there was a guy on the beach that took pictures. And he said, there was this family and they were like arguing and fighting and just like, you better smile, blah, 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 blah. And they're just all mad and click, big happy family. And posted it on Facebook. We're having a great time in Mexico, right? Pictures don't, they say 1,000 words, I guess. Is that what it says? But not necessarily the right ones, right? They just evoke something in us. And so that's one of the deals. Here's actually just searching online. This is from I found this response to the social media causing depression from this teenage girl. Okay, this is from a teenage girl's point of view. I was gonna read it like a teenage girl, better not. I just lose everybody. It's like, that guy's a jerk. You might think that already, but anyway. I seriously can see the dramatic changes of my well-being and conscious. Okay, I'm just going to read it as it is because her English is quite poor. After, I would say, 2 years of being on Instagram, this year has really striking me as more and more people have made an account and my envy worsens. You see tons of people living the life you wish you always had. Craziness. That's just what we're talking about, right? The biggest cause of my depression was from seeing so many pictures of people and their group of friends or best friend. Being an only child girl, sometimes it's hard to hang out with your friends on a daily basis, and it gets lonely at times. So lonely, I cry in silence, asking God, why is this happening to me? Of course, no one thinks of me as ever being depressed. They see me as this popular girl on Instagram that has so many followers and likes and is a model. No, she's online. Who knows, right? This does not make a person happy, okay? I thought it would, and as you can see now, I'm writing on this page, but no one knows I bought those followers and that I deleted my old account because I wanted to be known, I guess you could say. I know it was stupid to do all that. She posted as anonymous, by the way. But people really do treat you differently by the standards of your social media. It's like people don't give you the time of day if you have below average of followers or don't get many likes. It's stupid, and sometimes I wish I could just go to my old self where I didn't have to make sure my pictures were perfect by retouching them on Photoshop. I even used someone else's picture once because it looked like she looked like me, and I posted it. I've gone insane. I really don't know what to do. It's the scrolling and seeing people's pictures that is making my self-esteem at the lowest of my life so far. I just want to be happy again like I was before I made an Instagram. I'm thinking of deleting the app, or maybe only going on it when I post a new picture and not scrolling. But the temptation is so real. It really is an addiction. I just thought that was a really interesting response. Considering all the things I had just studied. I actually just found this yesterday. I'm like, that's exactly what I was trying to get across. But right from the lips of a teenage girl going like, this is the battle. Now, you guys need to know this is like social media isn't bad, right? But our motivations for going on it can be. And we're going to talk in the toolbox, or it's not the toolbox for girls, but the spiritual handbag essentials. Accessories, that's right. Accessories to your spiritual handbag. Perfect, yeah. That's what we're gonna talk about, one of those things. So, but this last part, just for the guy's sake, here's some symptoms of brokenness in girls. Is that we talked about it right off the start, relationships, and I call it relationship lust. That you lust after a relationship, that you feel like this is what's going to complete you, that this is what you really need, and it's not. It's the disordered desire from the curse that you're buying into. It's not going to complete you. It's not going to make you happy forever. Only Jesus can provide you with that. And so you have to fight against that disordered desire to put that boy in that spot. Number two is control. If one of your bucket sins is perfection and the other one's comparison, control is going to be an issue for you. And the Bible says it right there. It's one of the symptoms. Right off the bat, you will try to control. You'll fight because your husband's going to have control over you. You're going to fight it. So you're going to try to control everything in your life so that you can somehow attain this perfection. Do you see where this is going, ladies? Like, it's just snowballing into something big. Like, not just big, something massive, right? That's out of our control. Seriously, that's a scary statement for a woman, right? Out of your control. Third is gossip. If comparison and perfection are the goals, then you'll do anything to climb those ladders. You will use words. See, guys more physical, they'll often fist fight. In recent times, the lines are getting a little blurred there. guys fight like this sometimes with just words. But mostly this is more of a girl's deal when it comes to gossip. Guys do it too, but this is one of the girls' kind of big bucket things, is that gossip becomes, you talk about that girl, you want to bring her down so you can bring yourself up, you want to, you know, talk about that person, and it elevates your status, it's part of the sin of perfection and comparison, and these disordered desires. Ladies, God has given you something with your words that is incredibly powerful to build up or destroy. So, and ladies, the ones who are married, you talk to, you know, single girls, talk to the ladies who are married. How much, an example. if anyone of you in this church came in and said something mean to me, I'd be like, whatever. If my wife did, it would bother me. It would cut me to the heart. It would kill me. Right? I got a thick skin, really thick skin. You can say whatever you want. It doesn't hurt me. Like, that's part of growing up with my dad, I think. That's just how he was. I don't have time to go there. But, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. You can think what you want. But if my wife does that, she can, just a few sharp words can destroy my soul. Ladies, you have a lot of power when it comes to words. And I think God wants you to use those words to build up each other and the church. Because if you're a Christian, you're part of the church. And you can use them quite very powerfully to build into people's life, to encourage, to guide. Like, women are smart, right? Generally, right? I mean, part of it is because you're able to think of all these things all the time, right? So, I think it's really cool how God has designed women. I think it's awesome. I'm so glad that you're not like me. That my wife is, opposite of me in every way. I just think that's the best thing ever. Right? I don't want another me. How lame is that? Seriously, my wife, Jamie, I don't think there's anything we're, alike in. Our giftings even are different. Just everything. And she's Chinese and I'm white, so there you go. Even her. There you go. It's like everything is opposite. But I just think that's cool. And ladies, you need to understand that. Be careful how you talk. Watch out for gossip. Gossip doesn't just destroy the person. It destroys you from the inside out. It makes you into that whitewashed tomb I was talking about. Because gossip is, what it's doing is putting death inside you. It's just whitewash out here. Yeah, look at me, I'm way better. And finally, doubts about your worth and value. That's where this leads us, guys, girls. It leads to this. And guys, again, you need to hear this because you need to understand, you need to be careful talking to girls. It's not that they're fragile, but you need to be careful in these areas about body image. You never make fun of a girl's body. You never make fun of those kinds of things. That is dangerous. She might laugh it off, and she might go home and cry for hours, weep because of something you said in that regard. So you got to be careful there. That's a touchy issue. And so we want to build up our girls. We want to build into them. We want to encourage them. We want to speak well to them, right? We want them to understand that we value them because they don't have that. I think it's part of the fall that women really doubt God's love. In fact, I know all of us feel this way because I feel like this way sometimes, that God, his feelings towards us are more like toleration, that he tolerates us because of all the sin, because we, especially ladies, that we're not reaching perfection. That he just tolerates us. But God wants you to know that he loves you and takes such great pleasure in you. And those are hard words for you to accept. You love to hear them, but man, they don't go past your brain, right? There's too many other things going on. But they need to get down into your heart. You need to believe that with all your heart. And I know there's some women who do, and they've made that transition. So there's lots of hope for you, ladies, is that you have to understand God's love is so deep and so genuine for you that he takes incredible pleasure in you. That's why he created you last, right? He saved the best to last. Like, you're the red Smartie, right? You eat the red one last. He did. He saved his most intricate and most complicated and difficult to understand creation for the end, because it was the pinnacle of creation. All right, so that's where we're going to leave off. Ladies are going to stay in here, and we're going to have a discussion on handbag. What did I call them? Accessories. Accessories to your spiritual handbag. Yes.